Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's raise our hands, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are the most amazing, incredible person we could ever know, ever meet. And we're going to spend eternity with you. How amazing is that? You're going to spend eternity with the Creator of the universe. Wow. You're going to spend eternity. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Just think about the moment that you have met with God in the most incredible, awesome, amazing ways, and multiply that by gazillions. That's what it's going to be like to be with God forever and ever and ever. But the amazing thing is, if you know Jesus today, you have this living God in you right now. And you can live in that amazing life right now. Maybe some people here today, you don't know Jesus. You've never met him. You never found out how real God is and what he has done in your life and for you and what you can step into today. And as we just spend a few minutes just looking what's in the Bible and talking about the reality of God and how we can know him and have a relationship with him, maybe you'll discover this morning that God is very, very real. Maybe different than you think he is. He's not just a guy in the sky somewhere far away, but he's present here amongst us and wants to reveal who he is to us. Whether we know Jesus today or whether we don't, he wants to show who he is in our lives today. Because his heart is jealous for every person in the room. His heart is for you to know him, for you to walk with him, and for you then to be like a light, because the Bible says God is light. And it's to be, and we're to be like a light to other people so that other people can see who God is in and through our lives. We're not here to keep a light under a bushel or under a shade or to keep it hidden. But when God comes into our lives come alive in a new way. And therefore, God wants us to be a witness of who he is out in the everyday situations that we live in. So, Father, we thank you as we look at your word today. You speak into our lives. You transform us by the renewing of our minds. Our thinking will come into line with yours. Our hearts will be transformed as we see more of your heart. But you show us how to walk with you, to live in you, in the great rest, by faith, working through love, in the power of your Holy Spirit, in an intimate relationship with you, yet being available at any moment for whatever you want to do in and through our lives, Father. That we'd be like on the potter's wheel today in your hands, that as you speak by your Spirit in our lives, there'll be like a shaping of who you are in our hearts and our lives. You will find us ready to respond to you. Easy to work in your hands, as it were, so you can shape us to be who you've called us to be, both as individual, but also as a body of people. Father, we know there's so much more than we've seen and known, so much more beyond where we are. And Father, we want to stretch out today, not in our own efforts, but we want to stretch out in the things of the Spirit and stretch into everything that you have for us. We know there are many, many lives out there that are yet to be saved, yet to be reached. Father, we thank you for your grace to enable us to reach those people, to love those people, to take the power of the gospel of who you are to those people, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, those that we live around, people we might not have even met, but yet we're going to meet them this week, and there's going to be a God moment in their lives as a result. Father, we want to live on the tiptoes of expectancy. We want to live on the front foot of expectation, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Anybody believe any of this stuff this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Now, before you sit down, the chair you're going to sit on is a comfy chair. Well, it might not be. It depends what it's like. It's been around a long time. But the chair you're going to sit in this morning when you sit down is called the Great Rest. So before you sit in it, everything going on in and around you, pressures, hassles, stuff you're thinking about, decisions you got to make, circumstances, all of that lot, there's two ways of dealing with them, either in your own strength and effort or in his. So what I want you to do when you sit down in a moment, say, Father, I choose to sit in the great rest of who you are. I choose to trust you this morning and I give you everything that's going on in and around my life at this moment. I thank you that you're before me, showing me how to walk in the midst of these situations. You're going before me, showing me how to walk and which way to walk in, but you're also in me to enable me to walk with you and make those right decisions as I trust in you and as I rest in you. Some of you need healing this morning, and you'll find that healing in his rest. Some of you just need some peace, and you'll find that total well-being in his rest. Some people need provision in different ways. You'll find that in his rest. You won't find stuff through worrying, through fear, but you'll find it in his rest. What is his rest? It's relationship. It's a relationship with the living God, with the one who created you, made you, formed you, chose you by name, picked you out, gave you life, breathed into you. It's a relationship with the awesome creator of heaven and earth. You're the apple of his eye, and he says, relationship with me, that's what it's all about. That's the place of rest. That's the place of trust. That's the place of wisdom. That's the place of everything you need. That's the place of victory. It's the place of faith. It's the place of love. It's the place of hope. It's the place of faith. It's the place of compassion, mercy, grace. It's the place of overcoming. In the great rest, there is no fear, because all fear has been cast out by my perfect love. But in that place of rest, you have a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. The great thing about the great rest is I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I don't have to try and live this life any longer, because it's Christ in me that enables me to live that life, this life. So as I hide in you, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. See, as you rest in me, that's why my nature and character flows in you and through you. When challenges come, when pressures come, you find that if you're in the great rest, it's my nature and character that flows in you, and you find you're responding with love. You respond with forgiveness. There are no chips on the shoulder in the great rest. There is no place to live in unforgiveness in the great rest. Why? Because the great rest is living in me, in my nature, my character. What does that mean? Quick to forgive. Quick to respond. Quick to love. Quick to serve. Quick to bless. Quick to go the extra mile. Why? Because that's the great rest. It's a place where life flows, where love flows, where my life flows in and through you. The great rest. Why? Because you're not trying to get some life of your own and live in your own strength, but it's my life in you and at work in you. So Father, I thank you that as we look at your word this morning, you're going to explode afresh in our lives this morning. I thank you for a fresh explosion in everybody's lives in this room this morning. Father, I thank you. It's like there's a grenade in the spirit of every person. You pulled the pin already, and there's going to be an explosion of who you are in every person's life this morning. So that you take over, you fill, you rule, you reign, you have your way in every one of our lives, Father. I thank you. There's a detonation going on this morning in every life today. I praise your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Just take a seat in the great rest this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, Pastor Colin brought an amazing message last Sunday. If you weren't here, I want to encourage you to go and find it on the website and have a listen to it. Brilliant word. And in the context of what God's doing and saying, I just want to flow on from that. From last week in relation to what I believe God is saying and doing in our lives. So remember, this was the point, this represents the lectern where we gave our lives to the Lord, and this side represents when we didn't know the Lord, and this is when we came to know him. But how he described it was it's a walk that we have with God, and what he described was, if God is here and he is looking at our lives, and he is speaking into our lives. He already knows how our lives panned out. He's already made provision for everything in our lives and how we need to be and to live. And so he's here, if you like, whether you call this at the end of our life or whatever you want to call it, but he sees our life all kind of mapped out. And the great thing is, he's not far off, miles away. He is in heaven. He rules and reigns. He is here now, but he puts his spirit in us.
So we might be here, or you might have just given your life to the Lord. You might be a bit further down the road in how long you, when you gave your life to the Lord. But he puts his spirit on the inside of us to then enable us to live out the walk that he has called us to walk. So when he speaks to us from his throne, and what happens when he speaks from his throne? It's like thunder comes out from his throne. It might be a still small voice, but when God speaks, everything shifts, everything moves. Even God's whisper shakes everything. We appropriate volume with movement. But when God speaks, he can whisper, let there be, let there be, let there be. And boom, everything has to respond. Why? Because there's nothing that can resist or hinder the power of God's word being spoken. So when he speaks into our life, he doesn't speak to your head. He speaks into your spirit. He speaks into your spirit, and the Holy Spirit in you then resonates or brings revelation or gives understanding of what God is saying. So when God speaks, he doesn't have to shout if we're listening. Sometimes when we're not listening, he needs to shake us a little bit. Come on, oi, come on, are you listening? For the 50th time, I'm trying to get through to you, you know. But hopefully, when we're in the great rest, we're constantly listening. There's a sensitivity. So this walk that Pastor Connie spoke about last week, this is the walk of the highway of holiness, as he described. It's a walk of faith in a number of things. But also, it's the walk of the great rest. What is the great rest? What it really means is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Living in the great rest, walking in the great rest. It's resting from our own efforts and labors and living in his life and power. So that scripture in Galatians 2:20 is, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So God knows we cannot live this life on our own, in our own efforts. So he puts his spirit in us to enable us to walk and to live the life that he's called us to walk in and live in. So I want to look at a few scriptures. If you want to turn to Galatians chapter 6, first of all, and want to look at a few verses. Galatians chapter 5. I want to look at a few verses in here. I don't know what's happening with you at the moment through these 40 days of prayer and fasting. This is day 35, okay, that we're on now. So there's a few to go. I think it's 35 anyway. And I don't know about you, I've lost a little bit of weight, but gained a lot in the spirit. So I don't mind losing I don't mind missing a few bowls of custard and other things or whatever they've been doing. And I'll have a few of those next week and just to catch up. But custard is liquid anointing. In a carton. Yeah, ambrosia. You cut it open and it's like, oh, the anointing just flows. And, I'm surprised the Bible says instead of oil, you just dab custard on people, you know, because it's got an anointing on it and it helps you to put weight on anyway. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know what you found, but I found such a kind of, I was going to call it a dichotomy. What's a dichotomy? It's like when two opposites happen at the same time that shouldn't. And you think, what on earth is going on? And you're left in this, wow, you know, I've had quite a few of those moments with God over these last few weeks. And God has it just shown me the intimacy that I have with him, but yet the power and the might of who he is all at the same moment. And you're like, how does that work? There's such an intimacy with you, such a kind of resting in you, such a moment of, when I say rest, I don't mean just going, right? That's taking everything out of gear and being a pleb, right? So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you just disengage everything and go like that. What I mean is you become more fully engaged with who God is. And you're so overwhelmed that moment, the intimacy, the awareness, the now of God right now in this moment, just the, you know, and there's something so intimate at that moment, but yet you feel the weightiness, the magnitude, the massiveness of God at the same time. And you're like, God, it's like you're so intimate, so here right now, like I can feel your breath in my face, but yet there's this, you are awesome, incredible and mighty at that moment at the same time. And it's like God's been talking to me about the intimacy of who he is as a father, but the might and the power of who he is as a warrior. Yeah. Yeah.
and knowing God as a father, but knowing him as a warrior. And so having a sensitive spirit that is alive and awake to God and sensitive and responsive and all of that, wanting to give God the best you can all the time. You know, so when we worship today, do you know what I mean? It's like, my ears are really blocked at the moment, totally. So as I'm speaking this morning, everything's in my head, okay? I'm having them sorted tomorrow morning, but they're just full. And so I was standing down here and I had my hands in the air. I'm thinking, is anybody else singing in the place this morning? I had no idea, because all I can hear is how out of tune I was because my voice is in my head. And I'm like, this is brilliant. I don't know what anybody else is thinking around me, but they must be thinking, what have you done with your voice, Clive? You know, you need to get some help. You know, but in my head, it's like, this is out of tune. This is awful. And I had to look round two or three times thinking, is anybody else joining in this morning? Is anybody else here today? Because everything's in my head. Okay, is that all right? So, I know, thanks. I can just about hear that. You're over there. But it's like, God, I just want to explode with who you are. God, you're so amazing. You're worth more than I could ever give you. You know, trying to worship this morning, it's like, God, you're amazing. You're mighty. It's like my body's like, God, I can't worship you enough. You know, you're so brilliant, so amazing. I had to look around a few times, like, is anybody else like this or not? Is everybody just more come to church on a Sunday morning? I don't know. I mean, people were engaging. You did look like you're into it, you know? So I just had to double check because am I in my own world here this morning, in my own la-la land or whatever with God? But there's a dynamite of God that I believe he wants to explode in our lives at this time. Not just during 40 days, but what he's doing in us and through our lives. Let's have a look at Galatians in here. In Galatians 5, Paul is speaking here, writing to the Galatians. And the context of this passage, he says here, the first verse, he said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, let's just look at the context of why he's saying this, okay? Because we pick that out as a one-off verse so often. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yay! You know, we do all of that. But it's in the context where there's a struggle going on with these guys, where they're talking about circumcision or uncircumcision. Their background as Jews was, obviously, their upbringing was you're circumcised, you're set apart for God and you belong to him. So there was a physical mark on your body that says you've been set apart for God. And so they were kind of arguing, saying, you know, once you become a follower of the way, they didn't call them Christians yet, you know, so much. When you become a follower of the way, do you still need to be circumcised or not? And so he wrote into this situation, or he spoke into this situation saying, hey guys, it's not whether you get circumcised or not. That's not the issue. What he's saying here, it's all to do with the heart. He says it's by faith. He says here, where does it say it? Verse 5, by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So what he was saying is, look, it's not the physical mark on your body that it means anything now. It's what's going on in your heart that by faith, your heart has been circumcised. Your life has been circumcised, if you like. Your heart has been cut out for God. It's like, God, as in, not cut out, because if you know what I mean, the old one's been taken out and a new one's been put in. But you've been set apart, and it's a heart work that God has done. But he's speaking, saying, guys, it's not the outward actions of that set you apart. It's faith working through love. This is the thing that counts here. So in that context, he's saying you've been freed from living this old life, from the law where you have to do this, that, and the other to be acceptable to God. You've been freed from that. Don't go back into that. Live in the good of the freedom that you've been given. Live in the good of everything that God has done for you. And then he talks about running a race. He said, you were running a good race, but somebody cut in on you. Now, this walk here, this is a race that God has got us on. When you run a race, you want to make sure you're fit for that race. Is that right? So that you're not wearing anything if you're going to go into a race. If you're going to do a 100-meter sprint, you wouldn't wear your jeans, boots, a heavy jacket, gloves, and a hat,
because you think that's going to slow me down. You put your trainers on, lightest shorts you can get, and a sprint vest or whatever they wear, and you make yourself as light as possible because you're focused on this race. And he's saying here, guys, there's a good race you were running, but somebody cut in on you and tried to distract you with this stuff. So he's saying, guys, there's a race to be run. It's got to be by faith, working through love. Then he goes in and from verse 16 onwards, talking about living by the Spirit. So I say to you, don't live by the outward. Don't live in the way you used to, but live by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Now, how do you live in that way? You focus on the walk. You focus your life on the great rest. You focus your life on who God is. See, if you try and resist sin, if you try and resist temptation, if you try and resist stuff that wants to take you out, you get caught up in it and you focus and concentrate on it. But if you focus on living in the great rest, saying, God, I want to live in harmony with you. I want to live in peace, total well-being with you. I want to live at one with you. We know our position is at one, but the Holy Spirit is in us to enable us to live at one with him. When you seek to live in that way, say, God, I want to live in the great rest. I choose to rest in you, to trust in you. You starve the flesh. You starve the stuff that wants to cut in to the race that you're running. See, as soon as something begins to cut in or we give something attention, we begin to feed it a little bit, what you feed on fills you. What you feed on fills you. If you feed on something, you become full of whatever you feed on. So as we're walking in this way, we're feeding on the truth of who God is. We're feeding on who he is. We're feeding on his presence. We're feeding on him saying, God, I no longer live, but it's you who lives in me. So I choose to abide in you. I choose to stop trusting myself. I make a decision. I don't know what you do to do that, but for me, doing it several times during every day now, not just get up in the morning, spend time with the Lord and start there and live from there. What God's been showing me is, no, you don't live from the great rest. You live in the great rest. So you live in it moment by moment, moment by moment. So the walk of today, in the context of your life, might not be massive steps, you know, because obviously there's a few years to go, but it might be, the length might only be this, you know, in terms of the, in regards to that. But if we talk about a walk being a day for a moment, this, the beginning of the day to the end of the day, I don't want to just get up and say, God, I'm wonderful, you're brilliant, what do you want to say to me? And thank you, Jesus, write a few things. Would you do this today? Bless me today. And then, right, now I'll go from there and live my life doing whatever, and stuff comes this way and over here. No, it's like, God, I want to start in the great rest. You get up as a child of God. You get up in Christ. You get up, say, Father, I want to get up right now in the great rest. So, Father, right at the start of the day, before anything kicks off, I exalt you. You're wonderful. You're mighty. I want to drink of you today. I want to eat of you today. I want to live in you today, moment by moment. I want your presence to be cultivated in my life today. So the great rest is what's going on in here, not a feeling that is around me. And when that feeling goes, oh, but the great rest in here. And Father, I want to guard that today as a walk with you. So as we then begin to walk into that day, it's like, Father, I thank you that today you're going to lead me by faith today where I need to trust you. So I want to live in who you are. I know I'm going to need to love today. So I thank you for your love that's in me, the Spirit of love. So as I just begin to walk today, I thank you that I walk in you. Stuff comes from the right. Stuff comes from the left. Stuff might challenge. Pressure moments. Somebody's got an attitude. Work doesn't go very well. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a great rest. Somebody has a go at you. I forgive.
it just runs off. Why? Because you're staying in the great rest. Suddenly a need arises. Father, I thank you. No, I mean you. You've made provision for all my needs. Thank you that you provide. Suddenly you need some wisdom. Father, I thank you that you are my wisdom. See, what happens? All this stuff comes fast at us. You need this, you need that, you need that other. Suddenly we go, oh, right, yeah, okay. The next thing, we're left and right, and we're all over the place. We lose our peace. We're looking for the answer. We're looking for something, and oh, no, you'll find it in me. It's faith, trusting me, being expressed and walked in love. So somebody comes with a pressure, it's okay. Somebody comes with an attitude, I don't have to react. It's like a wall of protection around you. You're living and walking in the rest of faith. But this walk is done through love. What is love in God? It's a relationship with Him. And that relationship of love, it's from that relationship of love, or in that relationship of love, that faith is then expressed through our lives. It's not just, you know, I need to have faith, and then, oh, I better do it in love. It's no, we start with love, relationship, intimacy. See, then God speaks in that relationship. And when He speaks in that relationship, faith rises. Faith, right, because it's in relationship. God doesn't just want to give you words of life and faith to meet that situation so you've got the answer. He wants you to walk by faith so that you're walking in the answer already. So that when challenges come, you're already walking in a place of, I haven't got to get something from God now, I'm already walking in that place. Because He said, I've already made provision for you. I've already given you everything you need. And as you abide in me, rest in me, trust in me, then you can walk in that rest. Situation comes, need some faith, need some prayer. Something's happened. That's okay. Father, I thank you that you rule and reign. Thank you that you're in charge. Just speak healing right now. Just command that sickness to go. Father, I thank you that you release that person from the difficulty that they're in. Father, and it's why? Because if you're walking in Him, you're not looking for something here, there, or everywhere. God said, no, you already have my provision. You have my healing. You have what you need to minister, to love, to give, to bless. See, we live in such a frantic world, don't we? With pressures of this, that, and the other. And the challenge is, you know, that I need my time with Jesus at the beginning of the day, you know, to get everything, and then I can get in it and deal with it and try and get through it. It's like, no, God says, I want you to walk in me, in it. Let's just have a look. See, what happens when we live and walk in the great rest? Verse 22. It enables us to resist the temptation that comes in the previous verses, but it says, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What does that actually mean? Against these things, nothing can conquer. Nothing can overcome them. But it's the nature and the character of Christ being expressed in us at that moment. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the working of the Spirit, as you rest and abide in Him, the working of the Spirit is what, first of all? Interesting how he starts with the word love there. It's not something else, but it's the fruit of the Spirit is love. God's perfect love casts out fear. See, if we're walking in His love, there is no fear. Why? Because in His love, we know He's in charge. I don't have to actually worry about something. Because in His love, He's made provision for whatever I'm going to need. We're going to look at that in a minute in another chapter. Joy, peace, patience. See, it's His nature and character being expressed to us. You see, God is more interested in relationship with you and I than He is in what we do for Him. Because we can't do anything for Him. Because it's I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So anything that happens in and through our lives is Him. Don't you think it's amazing how it all started. God created man, gave him life, breathed into him, relationship. Man stuffed up, did his own thing, and God needed a plan of salvation to bring him back to God. And the amazing thing is, we stuffed it, and God did all the work. He hung on the cross, took sin and guilt upon himself. He said, it's finished, it's done, it's complete.
the way is open now to come back to me. So we come back with all the grime and the sin and the crud of our lives. And we come back saying, God, I messed it up. And he goes, yeah, I know, but that's okay. I forgive you. I restore you. I bring you into a relationship with me. And I want you to walk with me, but I'm going to put myself in you to enable you to live that life. But there's things I also want to do in you and through you because I've appointed you and chosen you to bear fruit and fruit that's going to last. But I'm going to put my spirit in you and my word in you to enable you to be fruitful. And I'm going to produce that fruit in you. All I want you to do, this is Christianity in a nutshell, is that okay? Then we can go home and have lunch. All I want you to do, live in the great rest. What does that mean? It means intimacy, relationship. God, you're wonderful, you're mighty. Then God says something to you. Go and do this. Okay, but he doesn't just say, go and do this. He says, no, go and do this. And as you go and do it, it's the Holy Spirit then enables you in you to do whatever he wants you to do. He might say something else. Go and love that person. Go and buy them a gift and surprise them or bless them or whatever it is. I don't know. He might say, but in the great rest, let me put it this way. I'm talking to myself here. Living in the great rest means life's not busy. The phrase, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that, does not exist in the great rest. If we're saying, I haven't got time for this, I haven't got time for that, we're sitting, remember the three chairs we had? The chair that if you don't know Jesus, the chair of living in the great rest, and the chair of self. Do you remember that from a few weeks ago? When we say, I haven't got time for this, I haven't got time for that, we're living in the wrong chair. We're sitting in the one that's called busy, not in the great rest. If we're living in the great rest and walking in the great rest, then there's time for everything. Because if we really understand that God is in charge and ruling and reigning in our lives, and he's leading us, and we're seeking to walk with him in that way, there's time for everything. Because busy is frantic. Busy is pressure. Busy is like, oh my word, I haven't got time for this. I haven't got time for that. A great rest. How many of you know God's an amazing planner? Just read the Bible from cover to cover. The guy is a detail person. I was going to call him a freak then, but he's not a detail freak. He's a detailed person. There's a lot of detail in here, right? So he's pretty good at planning. And so he knows how to plan our lives out. He knows how to walk. But man, so there might be a lot on and a lot going on from one thing to this, to that, and the other. But when God's orchestrating it, and you're like, God, there's an ease in it. There's a rest in it. There's a peace in it. There's a fruitfulness in it. There's a joy in it in terms of what God's doing. 20 past 11. Just quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you will know these verses really, really well. But I just, yesterday when I was praying, just really want us to look at these for a moment. This walk that we're walking out in the great rest, it's a walk of love. Last week, Pastor Colin spoke about, mainly about hope, although he spoke about loads of stuff. That was an amazing, amazing message last week. You've got to listen to it on the internet. But what does Paul say here? The sentence before chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he says, and now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. What's he been talking about? He's been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate in our lives and as a body. He's been talking about how the body, the church works, one body, many parts, and how we all function together. We're all different, but yet God brings us together to move together as a body. But then he puts it in context of how it's all to work. And he says, now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, if I just lay it down, if I'm just a nutter Christian, you know, just doing it all for Jesus but have not love, I gain nothing. Wow, he's really rolled his sleeves up here. This is a smack in the face for everything we do in our own effort.
This is all in the great rest here. Now, we're going to read these few verses, but change the word love to God. God is love, right? So in the great rest, God is patient. Well, he's patient anyway, but I'll walk with him in the great rest. God is patient. So what does that mean? In the great rest, you have patience. These different things in the room all relate to different ones of you now. Some people say, oh, I've got a short fuse, short fuse. Well, you might have if you're sitting in the self chair, but if you sit in the great rest, you've got a long fuse. Because God's got a pretty long fuse. It's called mercy. Working through patience and kindness. And I don't know if God ever rolls his eyes about with us, you know, like, all right. Come on, Holy Spirit, let's have another go. Let's put it in another way. Let's see if they get it this time, okay? And he speaks to us the same thing the 50th time, but in the 50th different way, because he's like, oh, let's have another go. Come on. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. When you put it in this way and you put the word God in there, not just love, because we read the word love there and we go, all right, so I need to be patient, then I need to be kind, then I need to be not envy and all of that. Replace it with God, because God is love. Because when it talks about love here, it's talking about God. It's not just saying you love in this way and have a go. It's like, no, God in you expressing his nature and character through you. So he's saying God is patient. That means in the great rest, I'm patient in this walk. Love is kind. God does not envy. Wow. God does not boast. God is not proud. Wow. In the great rest, there's no boasting. There's no pride. It's humility. Why? Because in the great rest, you don't have. There's no insecurity. There's no lack of identity. In the great rest, there's no, I want to come across in a certain way so it gives me security and makes me feel good because I think people will think better of me if I do this or express that or I'm like the other. Man, we're living into the self-chair when we're like that. We want to get back into the great rest here. Because in the great rest, you're in God's identity. Who cares what other people think about you? That doesn't mean you're an idiot. Because idiot is in the self thing, isn't it? But you see, in this great rest, God's the one who gives you identity, security, total well-being. All hell can be breaking loose around you. All manner of things can be going on. But if you're in the great rest, it's like, that's all right. The storms can be going on, but God's in charge. We need to have communion, so I need to wrap up as well. Let's just read these. God is not rude. Wow. Check out how many times you might have been rude this week. We flick from the, it's easy, isn't it, to flick from the great rest chair into the self chair. And you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. God, would you forgive me? And he's like, yeah, I do. But what I want you to do is live in the great rest chair. Because love is not rude. I'm not rude. And if you're hidden in me and I'm in you, then you don't need to be rude. Then it says, "It is not God is not self-seeking." Wow. God's nature is love, and the nature of love is to give. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. We know the Bible says God is slow to anger, but rich in love. So God is not easily angered, but he does get angry. There's what is natural anger is reaction. God's anger is righteousness. You see, God gets angry over things that are not right, over injustice, over things that are not right. That's what he gets angry about. God doesn't react with anger as an attitude. Ah! What do they think they're doing? But God's anger is a righteousness that says, that's not right. I need to do something about it. And there's an anger, but his anger is not done in vengeance and a certain attitude. He's not easily angered. God keeps no records of wrongs. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody in the room, or pretty much, you know, if you know God, you're going to be like, brilliant. God keeps no records of wrong. What does that mean then? We don't either. We don't either. Because if he doesn't, we can't. If you're keeping record of wrongs, what does that mean? You're stuck in the self chair. And you'll be doing this. Because there's stuff going on in you, chips on the shoulder, whatever it might be. You can't live in the great rest and not have resolved something. God keeps no records wrong. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, because he is the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. Wait. God always hopes. God always perseveres. God never fails. He's unfailing. His love is unfailing. That's why love is unfailing, because God is unfailing. If God is love, he can never fail. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Talks about some other things here, about maturing. When I was a child, I did childish things, but now I'm a man, I put childish things away. See, what is this? This is a maturing walk. Living in the great rest is maturing in God. It's like, I put childish things away, trying to please me, feel good, this, that, and the other. And it's like, no, God, I want to grow up and be mature. I want to lead others in that relationship, in that mature walk. And then it talks about, just to finish off the chapter, the three things that remain that Pastor Gordon spoke about last week: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We haven't got time this morning. I was going to speak about some prayer and other things. We'll come on to that other weeks, in terms of what God is saying to us as a church about being a house of prayer, people of prayer, about an apostolic people, all of that stuff. We need to understand what it really means to be a people of prayer in the great rest and in this walk. But just for this morning, let's just focus on the great rest, the intimacy of relationship with God and walking in one of love, where faith is expressed in that relationship of love. And the most amazing act of love was what Jesus did on the cross, going to the cross. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. Because his love is unfailing, that's why he went to the cross. And he went to the cross to open up the way to set up this relationship with the Father, to open up the great rest, so that we can rest from all the stuff of life, all the things that try and pull us down. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and we said, you know, there might be a chair here called to sit on saying, well, I don't know Jesus. And this point is the point where somebody can give their life to Jesus. You might, there's an element this morning where you might feel a bit outside what's going on. Because you think, well, I feel a bit outside this stuff. You've been very much speaking about what it means to know God and all the things, you know, what God is like and all of that. And I feel a bit over here outside. Well, the reality is, if you don't know God, you are outside of knowing God. But the amazing thing is, this isn't a shut door here where you're outside and everybody else is inside. The door is wide open. And the door was opened by Jesus when he hung on the cross. And he took everything that the wall represented, that separated mankind from God. And he took this wall down, broke it down, smashed it. How did he do that? When he hung on the cross a couple of thousand years ago, the Bible says he became sin. He took every sin, every sickness, every pain, every guilt, everything was put on him, because there was a wall there. And when all that stuff was put on him, there was a moment where he cried out something on the cross, shouting, "It is finished, it's done." And the work of everything being put on him was done, was finished. And at that moment, the Bible says, this curtain, this veil, if you like, between God and man was torn down, was broken down, this wall was, and the way was open then. So what God is saying, having opened the way through Jesus, he's here saying, hey, it doesn't matter how far off you think you are, how miles away you are, he's looking, and saying, today's your day, the door is wide open, you can come into this great rest with me. You can come into this place where you find total rest for your soul. Why? Because you get your spiritual life sorted. See, God is spirit. He's not physical. God is spirit. And when you respond to God, you spiritually come alive. And then you find rest in your soul. Your mind's at rest. Your emotions will come into order. Your body, you can get healed, sorted, forgiven. It's a whole new life. We're going to have communion in the great rest this morning. And we're going to eat and drink of him, what it means. And we're just, when Jesus took the bread when he was with the disciples, He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is given for you." Jesus willingly gave himself. Why? Because the nature of love is to give. He gave his body. He laid down his life. He said, "I'm prepared to take all the pain, the shame, the sin, the guilt, everything on me, so that they don't have to live in that and face that, but can be set free and forgiven from all that stuff." Then he took the cup and he described how he was going to do it. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, the blood that was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, remember me. Remember who I am, what I've done." That the blood of Jesus represents us being forgiven. That when we don't know God and we're outside of God, it's like we're dirty with sin and with pain and shame and the stuff of life. It's like we're dirty. And what the blood does is it cleans you, washes you of all the stuff that separates you from God. It cleans you up. And the blood makes you acceptable to God. And every person that has already responded to God before, whether this week or many years ago, they're only acceptable to God because of the blood that was shed on the cross that cleaned us up and makes us acceptable. And it's the blood that enables us to live in the great rest. Because Jesus was the one who gave himself as a sacrifice on behalf of us. So, Father, we thank you as we receive communion this morning. Father, I thank you that the revelation of living in the great rest, place of total well-being. Do you want to just begin to pass it around, guys? When you receive communion this morning, expect God to come upon you in a fresh way this morning. Expect him to meet with you right where you are. It might only be a few moments. Expect God to meet the situation in your life. Some of you need healing. Some of you need some other stuff, wisdom. Some of you need rest in your soul. You find that by connecting to God. And as you connect with God this morning, there's a peace that comes on you and in you. Some of you got worries about family, friends, your children, your parents, the different things. Just give it to the Lord as you receive communion. Just let the rest of God, the peace of God, come on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just as you're responding to the Lord this morning, maybe just talk to him. And if you know you've been keep getting in the self chair, the self effort chair, then whatever those things are, just ask him to forgive you. Where you've been trusting yourself, because ultimately we sit in the self chair because we trust ourselves and not in him. Where we've stepped out of that flow of his life and stepped into the flow of our own. We said, "Well, I can handle that. I can worry about that. I can handle that myself." And you find you can't. You just get knotted up about it. It causes you hassle. Whatever it might be, come back into the great rest this morning. Because that's where the flow of life is. That's where his nature and character shaped and formed in our lives. That's the place of relationship. From that place of relationship, prayer then flows. Authority in prayer then flows. The power of what he wants to do in and through your relationship and when you pray comes from that place of great rest. Handling situations of life, they're handled in that place of the great rest. It's an amazing place where you'll find you're more joyful. You're more peaceful. You'll find you're more of a blessing to others, and you just find there's more of a contentment on the inside. Why? Because you're content with God. It's a great place to live. Great place to live. Doesn't mean you're going to get it 100% right all the time. But what you're seeking to do is, God, I want to live and remain and abide in the great rest. I want to live in you. If you don't know Jesus today, this could be your moment to respond to him, saying, "God, I want to know you in the way that bloke at the front is talking about. I don't really know who you are, don't understand a lot about you, but something on the inside of me is like, this is right." You might understand it all, but you just know something is going off on the inside of you, and you're like, I want to know God. If God is real, like he's talking about, God, I want to know you. And if that's you this morning, just talk to him right now. Just tell him what is going on inside you. You might not have ever talked to God before, but he's here. He's real. You can sense something in the room. Then you know, wow, this is different than just a great atmosphere. There's something tangible, something real. I can sense it, feel it. Just tell God, I'm here, God. I don't know you, but I want to know you. And just acknowledge God this morning. And in the close of the meeting in a few minutes' time, it'd be great to talk with you and pray with you. You might have come with some friends or family, and they can bring you down to the front afterwards, and we can chat and pray together. There's some other guys that will be here from the Connect team to chat and pray with you. People that love Jesus, know Jesus, are going to help you. But just acknowledge God. God, you're real this morning. I want to take that first step in giving my life to you today. I want to begin this walk. I want to come out of being separated from you. I want to come into a walk with you to know you. It doesn't have to be flashy sounding. It's just what's from your heart. Whatever comes from your heart, God says, that's great. And he'll respond to what's called the cry of your heart, what's coming out of your heart. He responds to that. Anybody else in the room, whatever's going on in our hearts, he responds to the cry of our hearts right now. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're mighty. You're King. You're God. Let's just lift our hands. Shall we lift our voice? Let's just worship him where we are. You don't necessarily have to sing out, but you just worship him. Just glorify him. Just speak out your praise. Speak out your adoration. Speak out how much he means to you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Father, you're wonderful. You're mighty. You're glorious. Thank you, enable us to walk in your love, to flow in your love and everything we've been talking about last week and today. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Father, that when we're living in the great rest, there's a breakout of who you are in our lives. There's a breaking out of who you are in our lives. As we seek to walk in the great rest and live in you in that way, there's a constant breaking out of your life because it's your life in us, your life at work in us. There's a constant release of your life going on, like the breaking out of God, a releasing of God. Father, I thank you for a greater release of God in this church, in this congregation, for this region and this nation, everything you've called us to, Father. I thank you for a greater release of the breaking out of who you are in us and through us as we seek to walk and live in the great rest and seek to walk in that in our lives, that breaking out of God, which then leads to the breaking through of the things of God. Father, I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that this week's going to be a week of God breaking out in our lives. God breaking through in our lives. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm going to live in the great rest from this moment onwards.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.